The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, November 30th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 2 hours of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and joining me here in the studio, pushing the buttons, turning the knobs, and keeping me sane, our own Ganja John.
Yo, Russ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hey, did you bring those DVDs today?
God damn it.
I knew I'd catch you with that. We'll get to that later on. And also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, our own Cannabis Carry.
Ooh, that sounds really compelling.
Oh, you know, there's that new series out on AMC, The Walking Dead, the little zombie series, and I've been wanting to see it, and John's got DVDs.
He keeps forgetting.
What could be causing the lack of short-term memory?
I don't know.
I just don't know.
Maybe those oil hits I took last night.
Yeah, that could be it. Hey, we got a great show for you coming up today on the California Marijuana Report at half past the hour. We've got an interview, Eric Brenner interviewing Eugene Davidovich from Americans for Safe Access in San Diego. Probably the toughest place to be a medical marijuana or even a marijuana activist in California is right there in San Diego. So we'll hear from Eugene and his trials and tribulations. At 45 past, we're going to do a radical rant. I'm going to take a look at this notion of a teapot party as suggested by Willie Nelson. We'll see how realistic those chances are. And at 20 after the hour, we've got some Electric Tuesday music, new stuff from the Symphony of Science. I played a little bit of it last week or a couple weeks ago, but we're going to bring it up for today. A wave of reason is washing over Normal Show Live today. But first, before we get to all of that, we join Cannabis Carry with our hemp headlines after the first break. What's in the headlines today?
Well, we have some, I don't like to call it bad news out of Illinois, because anytime we have a medical marijuana state, it's always a process. So, but we do have some news about Illinois and medical marijuana. Also, a Canadian poll that came out yesterday and made some waves for a couple of reasons. And also, the New Hampshire Supreme Court rules on the side of privacy. Some good news to end the hemp headlines today.
All right. We're looking forward to that right after our first break. And also coming up in hour two in Toker Talk Radio, we'll be taking your live calls at 971-533-7111. But I want to let people know that are listening to the podcast, if you can't listen to it live because you're at work or whatever, you can still call into our show. That number is available 24 hours a day, 971-533-7111. And it's got a voicemail. You can leave a message, and some of the best ones we'll play on Normal Show Live. It'll be good content for the second hour. Coming up in the second hour, I've also got some opinions about this Illinois bill and a look at the drug czar trying to push zero tolerance drug driving on us. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. That's what you got to do.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Today, the Illinois House members debated a long-awaited medical marijuana bill that supporters felt had a realistic chance of passage, but the bill just barely lost in a vote of 53-4 to 59 against. The bill needed 60 votes for passage. In a last-ditch effort to save Bill SB 1381 that would allow people in Illinois to qualify to use medical marijuana for treatment for AIDS, cancers, and other illnesses, State Representative Lou Lang, a Democrat from Skokie, has pulled the bill on postponed consideration, which effectively pulled it back before the vote was made official to allow him to try again later if he can come up with the extra votes. Representative Lang closed the session about medical marijuana in Illinois with an impassioned floor speech that was cheered by medical patients who had crowded into the House gallery for the historic vote on a day that they had hoped would end with Illinois getting closer to becoming the 16th medical marijuana state. Supporters say the measure is about alleviating suffering among patients who would only be able to use medical marijuana in their homes. State Representative John Fritchie, a Democrat from Chicago, said that people are looking for relief, not a cheap high, and that it is time we let people find relief from pain with medical marijuana. Now, critics said that to pass the measure would open the door to legalizing recreational marijuana. And of course, there had to be at least one during the debate, and today it was Representative David Reese, a Republican from Olney, who stood up to say that passing SB 1381 in Illinois would be sending the wrong message to the children. The bill would allow patients to grow medical marijuana with a doctor's recommendation that would ease the patient's suffering and would allow patients to possess up to 6 cannabis plants within a 60-day period, 3 of which could be mature. The patients would have to obtain the plants from a state-sanctioned supplier. Sponsoring Representative Lou Lang from Skokie argued that the measure was aimed at giving people in pain a better quality of life, particularly after doctors had tried multiple medications that have not helped a person suffering from a debilitating illness. The proposal would have expired after 3 years to study whether it should have been made permanent. Governor Pat Quinn previously expressed support for the idea, saying those who are seriously ill should have access to any medical treatments that may help relieve their pain. Although it is not officially dead, SB 1381 will most likely be reworked to try and garner 7 more votes before another vote on the bill.
Oh, what a shame here. The month that began with us losing the medical marijuana battle in South Dakota, dispensaries in Oregon, and legalization in California, this month concludes with losing that battle, or at least tabling the battle here in the state of Illinois. I was doing some research on this before the show, and I found a newspaper clipping, the State Column, which is kind of the Illinois state political newspaper here, and they noted it was a 53-59 vote with one lawmaker voting present. And here's the paragraph that got to me. Critics of the medical marijuana bill said the current bill did not go far enough in restricting access to the drug. Supporters said the measure was simply a means for providing relief to those suffering from various ills. Critics pointed to examples in California, saying the Illinois medical marijuana proposal was essentially legalizing marijuana. The bill was crafted off a similar bill that passed in California. Well, yeah, similar in that they both have medical marijuana in them, and other than that, they're not similar at all. Illinois' bill would have set a 7-plant, 2-ounce limit. California lets doctors recommend any reasonable plant or possession limit, with 8 ounces and 6 ounces and 8 plants being the floor that is considered legal under any condition. Illinois would have had a strict list of qualifying conditions. California allows a doctor to recommend for any condition he or she feels marijuana will help. Illinois would have had a state-run registry card system. California has a voluntary county-run registry system. This Illinois bill had a 3-year sunset clause on it. The California initiative was made permanent the minute it was voted in. The The system in Illinois would have had a state-run dispensary system with very strong security regulations built into it. Of course, California's is who knows. There's all sorts of people that say all sorts of things about what's legal in California as far as their dispensaries go. The Illinois bill would have offered protections to workers to not get fired or disciplined for merely having metabolites in their system, would have allowed them to travel, would have had reciprocity for other medical marijuana cards, would have protected their driver's licenses from being taken away for zero tolerance DUIDs, would have protected them in housing to keep them from being evicted for their legal use of medical marijuana, would have protected their child custody rights in the cases where an ex-spouse here might want to take the kids away for their legal use of medical marijuana, and California has none of those things. So, other than all that, those bills were quite alike.
A new poll in Canada by the Angus Reid Public Corps showed that more than half of Canadians support the legalization of marijuana. The poll showed that 44% of Canadians oppose decriminalization. While 61% of the people in Manitoba and Saskatchewan are said to have extended their support for legal pot, around 54% of British Columbians who had been surveyed say they wish to see marijuana legalized. However, most of the surveyed Canadians said that they were in support of the federal government's proposal for a national anti-drug strategy together with minimum jail sentences for operators and drug dealers. But not all cannabis activists are happy with the poll. Mark Emery's wife, Jody Emery, spoke out on Monday about the Angus Reid public opinion poll, saying that it convicted her husband in the court of public opinion because of the wording and a question that appeared on the poll. The question was if Mark Emery's five-year prison sentence was too harsh or too lenient, and whether respondents agreed or disagreed with the federal government's decision to extradite him to the U.S. to serve his time. Jody Emery says the wording of the question misrepresents Mark's offense for mailing marijuana seeds across the U.S. border. She says in her husband's case, he was only convicted of selling seeds and not marijuana. She says that the question is untrue and skewed the results because most people would support the extradition of someone who sold marijuana, whereas Mark's conviction was only over seeds. She told a media outlet yesterday that her government is considering whether it should transfer Mark home or not, and in order to do that, they're going to try and gauge public support. Angus Reid Vice President of Communications Mario Canseco explained automatic generator for statistical tables piped in the wrong question and the wrong result in the published document posted to their website. The 8-page post was pulled hours later, and a replacement omitted any mention of Mark Emery. Canseco said, quote, "It's the wrong question. It's the wrong table. It never should have been there. We're going to release the right questions today," that's Tuesday, "with the answers and the right definition on what he pled guilty to." Even without the mention that Emery was sentenced for seeds and not for marijuana, 54% of the respondents say that the Canadian government should approve a citizen transfer, and 33% oppose this course of action. Surprisingly, the Atlantic Canadians had a higher support of Emery being transferred in the poll, with 65% wanting Emery back on Canadian soil. Alberta was the only area where respondents disagreed with issuing a citizen's transfer. While 34% of Canadians believe a five-year sentence is correct for this type of offense, 35% believed it was too harsh, and 19% deemed the sentence too lenient. The poll was surveyed online.
Okay, so the citizens transfer thing they're talking about, that's to get Mark Emery back into Canada?
Yes, they want to have him serve. Their government and our government both has to come together and say that he is not a threat to either society. And if they both deem that, then he gets a free pass to go back to Canada to serve his time.
Okay, and Canadians everywhere except Alberta in majority support that idea.
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking of it backwards. I was thinking they didn't want him to come back, and it didn't make sense to me. But now I understand what you're saying there. And what were the numbers you gave us for the Canadian support for legalization overall?
54% overall.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, 61% over on the Atlantic coast. You would think that the Western coast would have a little bit more support.
Well, you know what might be going on there? When we look at the Western coast of Canada, you're talking about British Columbia, and you're talking about a well-entrenched black market, underground market in cannabis and cannabis sales, and maybe they're opposed to legalization just from a purely fiscal point of view.
Like what happened in California, possibly.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at because here in America, of course, the support for legalization is registering about 44% nationwide, but the greatest level support are here on the West Coast, where up to 58% of Westerners, according to the latest Gallup poll, support the legalization of marijuana. The lowest support in America comes from the American South, where it's still in the 36% range. For Canada to have higher support in the Atlantic regions is very interesting to me, and I'll have to take a look at those numbers and get some of those. That's Angus Reid polling. I'm sure they'll have that online, and we'll make some nice charts of it for our Canadian friends, eh?
A marijuana growing charge from 2008 in New Hampshire was heard by the state Supreme Court last week, and the court effectively reversed the conviction this morning. Lowell farm owner David Ord was tried and convicted last year to serve 60 days in jail on charges of manufacturing marijuana. David Ord and his 19-year-old son were arrested in July of 2008 after a Hollis police officer went to their home to serve Ord with a complaint for failing to license his dog. No one answered the door, so Corrado walked around to the side of the house where he spotted 16 marijuana plants growing in pots on a deck. According to court records, Officer Angel Corrado then found Ord on his farm and asked him to come back to his house, where Ord admitted to growing the marijuana plant, saying that he was stupid for doing so, but that police were ridiculous to arrest him for it. Ord's son Andrew was also arrested on that day, and he later pleaded guilty to a reduced misdemeanor possession charge and was sentenced to 30 days in jail. The county superior court judge allowed Ord to remain free on bail pending his appeal, so the senior Ord did not spend any time behind bars. The court's four justices found that the Hollis police officer violated David Ord's privacy by walking across his lawn, through a gap in a lilac hedge, and up onto his deck. The fifth Supreme Court justice dissented from the ruling, arguing that Ord had no reasonable expectation that the deck alongside his house was private space. While Corrado had a legitimate reason for going to see Ord that day, the court ruled that Ord also had a reasonable expectation that his deck was private. Because police violated Ord's constitutional right to privacy and protection against unreasonable searches of property, the court found the evidence they found could not be used against him. Quote, "We have previously recognized that certain property surrounding a home, often described as curtilage, deserves the same protection against unreasonable searches and seizures as the home itself," wrote Supreme Court Judge Gary Hicks. He continued, "Some federal judges have apparently assumed that police could lawfully walk around a person's property, provided they aren't on the property for a legitimate police activity, such as interviewing a person or serving civil processes. We disagree. Permitting police such wide latitude to enter a person's private property is incompatible with and detrimental to our citizens' strong right of privacy." Hicks wrote, quoting an earlier New Hampshire case, "When the police come onto property to conduct an investigation or for some other legitimate purpose and restrict their movements to places visitors could be expected to go, like walkways or driveways or porches, observations made from such vantage points are not covered by the Fourth Amendment. But other portions of the land adjoining the residence are protected, and thus if police go onto these other portions and make observations there, this amounts to a Fourth Amendment search. Because the discovery of the marijuana amounted to an illegal search, the court ruled police also had no right to question Ord about it or use that evidence to get a warrant to search his house. David Ord's website about his Lowell farm has a section titled Cannabis Corner with news on efforts to legalize marijuana and hemp cultivation. And the farm stand where he also works sells hemp products.
Well, that's good news for him. I'm so glad the privacy worked for him. And now in other news.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Stories.
And now for our stupid stoner story, go to our old-timey 1930s radio correspondent, Freddie Farrakh. Carruthersville, Missouri. Police say they arrested the same man for similar drug offenses in the same day, according to a Carruthersville Police Department news release. At
12:05 Sunday, police at the Caruthersville Community Center conducted a pat-down for weapons on a 21-year-old Caruthersville man and located several baggies of marijuana and several hundred dollars. He was charged with possession of a controlled substance and at that time was released pending the filing of formal charges. At 11:10 p.m., the same man was stopped for improper registration. Police found several baggies of marijuana after a dog searched the vehicle and arrested him.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure people are laughing at this because he got busted twice in the same day. I'm laughing because it shows how stupid it is to bust small-time weed dealers. Why? It's his job! It's what he's doing for a living! One out of five young people aged 16 to 24 are unemployed, and to go to the University of Missouri costs $21,000 a year. What else do you want the guy to do?
I want him to take a break.
I think we need a break. We had a double pump.
We had a hiccup.
In baseball, that would have been a balk.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here with your Electric Tuesday music. Sara Kant is still off on maternity leave and should be back soon. But for today, what we're going to end the month of November with is some reason. Boy, we've seen so much this month between the election at the beginning and all of the news stories we've covered this month that sometimes I just like to turn back to logic and reason and facts and science. It gives me that little warm feeling inside. As a kid growing up in the 1980s, one of the most influential people on my way of thinking was Carl Sagan, the great Jet Propulsion Laboratory scientist, author, and of course the man behind the Cosmos series on PBS. I remember being 12 years old watching every single one of those episodes between Cosmos and Nova as a kid growing up in Idaho, a couple of the two things that kept me going and kept my mind developing in the right way. So I always have a great debt to Sagan and many other scientists whose works I've read and whose works, of course, have helped us all in society. The Symphony of Science is a website you can visit, symphonyofscience.com, I think it is. It might be a .org, but I think it's a .com, John. Yeah, it's a .com. And every now and then they put out new songs. The first song, of course, was A Glorious Dawn, and this was taking Carl Sagan's voice from the Cosmos PBS series and using that T-Pain auto-tune thing that's usually really annoying, but using it to great effect with Carl Sagan in that song. And then it developed to more and more songs that we've played here on Normal Show Live quite a bit, featuring other scientists like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Richard Feynman, Feynman and so on. And this is the latest outing from the Symphony of Science people, and I just thought this would be good to end the month with. It's called A Wave of Reason. This is Symphony of Science.
When you are studying any matter or considering any philosophy, ask yourself only, what are the facts and what is the truth that the facts bear out?
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs.
Sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa, there is a new wave of reason, where superstition had a firm hold. Teach a man to reason, think for a lifetime, think for a lifetime.
Questions that were once treated only in religion and myth.
The desire to be connected with the cosmos reflects a profound reality. We are connected, not in the trivial ways that astrology promises, but in the deepest ways.
I can't believe the special stories that have been made up about our relationship to the universe at large. Look at what's out there. It isn't in proportion.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating.
There is a new wave of reason, sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason, where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason,
think for a lifetime,
think for a lifetime.
Superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
California ain't holding me back. Here in California.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. We're joined now by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
And a very special guest this week on the California Marijuana Report, San Diego activist Eugene Davinovich. Eugene was facing multiple marijuana felony charges as a result of Operation Green RX and San Diego District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis. Davinovich was vindicated by a jury trial the very next day. He was out campaigning for safe access for marijuana patients in the San Diego area. Eugene Davinovich with Americans for Safe Access. Welcome back to the California Marijuana Report.
Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for having me on your show again.
The last time we spoke, you had a stunning victory in court against Bonnie Dumanis, vindicated of all felony charges. Your record is clean. What have you been up to lately down there?
Well, since my trial has ended, and yes, it was I was vindicated of all the counts. It was a great victory, thanks to the help of everyone down here with San Diego ACE and all the other folks that helped me through my trial, and especially my two attorneys. But since then, I've been pretty much focused on the movement here in San Diego and continuing to advance the therapeutic use and research and protecting patients' rights. We've not seen much change come out of the district attorney's office since the last couple cases, since the last couple victories for patients in courts here. They've still maintained their positions that all sales of medical marijuana are illegal and have continued to harass, threaten, and arrest legitimate patients. So the fight continues.
And we again are speaking here with Eugene Davinovich of Americans for Safe Access down there in San Diego. Now, there is a sentencing hearing coming up with Jovan Jackson, who did receive a conviction for one of his charges that was brought by Bonnie Dumanis. Talk about the sentencing hearing.
Jovan Jackson, in his second trial, was convicted for providing marijuana to a legitimate patient as a part of a collective cultivation effort. It was called Amsterdam, and Mr. Jackson was vindicated at his first trial. However, the district attorney, Bonnie Dumanis, refused to listen to the will of the jury and threw another trial at him. He was convicted in his second trial because Judge Shore His second judge refused to allow him the medical marijuana defense and actually redacted the jury instruction from including the medical marijuana defense, the collective defense. And so as a result, he was convicted. He's appealing his case, and his sentencing is scheduled for December 15th in San Diego Superior Court at 220 West Broadway in courtroom 15 at 9 a.m. He'll be represented on appeal by Joe Elford of Americans for Safe Access, our chief counsel. On the 15th, Mr. Elford will be there, as well as Lance Rogers, who is still also Mr. Jackson's attorney from the trial. We hope to pack the courtroom and provide as much support for Mr. Jackson as possible, and certainly hope for no jail time at sentencing.
What kind of jail time is Jovan Jackson facing for this conviction, Eugene? Is there a mandatory minimum in place?
No, there's no mandatory minimum. It's really up to the judge's discretion. He can walk away with simply probation, or he can not walk away from the courtroom. It's really up to the judge at this point. So we've had many people write letters of positive character reference and sent them over to Mr. Rogers, Jovan Jackson's attorney. So if anybody out there knows Jovan Jackson, we could sure use your help with his case. And if you could write a positive character reference letter, send it over to either Eric or myself, and we'll get it to his attorney, so that could help him in the case for sentencing.
And we are asking for no jail time for Jovan Jackson. We did this last time, and apparently it helped him a bit, maybe. But well, anyway, this is very disturbing that the district attorney would refile charges against this great man who helped so many down there in the San Diego area. Eugene, let's move on to another topic here. We have a victory here in the district attorney's race. Kamala Harris is the new attorney general. I'm sorry, I said district attorney. In the state attorney general's race, we have a brand new attorney general here in California. Why don't you talk about her?
Absolutely. This is a great victory for patients across the state. Kamala Harris is our new attorney general. Steve Cooley was defeated. The No on Cooley campaign was very successful. It was an effort launched by Americans for Safe Access that included a TV campaign, advertising, flyers, and information distributed throughout the state to convince people not to vote for Cooley. And it looks like it worked. Kamala won by a small margin. We have a attorney general now in power that hopefully will respect the will of the voters, whereas Steve Cooley has a solid track record of not. He promised, in fact, to shut down Safe Access throughout the state. And this is truly a great victory for patients that could not have happened without us, all of us, uniting across the state and coming out in droves to vote against Cooley.
And, Eugene, I have to admit, I'm the first one to admit when I'm wrong. And I came out against, as you know, both Cooley and Kamala Harris, because Kamala Harris, of course, being the district attorney up here in San Francisco, did prosecute people for marijuana. There were prosecutions done under her regime. She did co-author the argument against the ballot initiative, Proposition 19, that appeared in the voter handbook, and I came out against Harris for this. I ended up voting for the Libertarian candidate. In hindsight, I will be, again, the first one to admit I was wrong. That was a mistake, and I did that based solely on principle, because she did author that ballot initiative argument against Proposition 19, and of course, spreading misinformation about the campaign. In hindsight, because her opponent was that cheap suit, Steve Cooley, that was a mistake. And I am apologizing to you personally right now here on my show, the California Marijuana Report, indicating to you that was a mistake, not supporting Harris. And I hope you can forgive me, Eugene.
Eric, of course, I think everyone can forgive each other now that the election is over, now that the decisions have been made and the victories have been solidified. Unfortunately, we did not see Prop 19 pass. I was very much for it. In fact, helped myself working with the local Prop 19 campaign, trying to get signatures and doing phone banking and other efforts. But it didn't pass. But that, although was, you know, very critical to the overall movement to legalize marijuana, was not as important as the race for attorney general was to patients. I'm glad that the, you know, it came out the way it did, because on election night, it really did appear to for Steve Cooley that he was winning.
And Steve Cooley, a very dangerous cheap suit, of course, endorsed by the California State Narcotics Officers. They loved his work in Los Angeles, shutting down those medical marijuana dispensaries and getting aggressive with the patients. Steve Cooley, now out of a job, and will hopefully be collecting unemployment very soon. Eugene Davinovich, Americans for Safe Access down there in San Diego, how can people get a hold of you and your organization?
You guys can reach me at sandiegoasa@gmail.com or find us on our website at www.safeaccesssd.com. org, and we have all the information listed for all the events going on. We also have a Christmas party coming up here on December 15th that folks should attend if they can, and a lot of things to do and to get involved with down here in San Diego. So I hope to see everybody get active, get involved, and make a difference.
As far as I'm concerned, the California Marijuana Report San Diego Activist of the Year, Eugene Davinovich, thanks for your time today and joining us here on the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much for your support.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
Welcome back, everyone. 41 after the hour here, Normal Show Live, and I just wanted to take a couple of minutes and talk about something. I was going to do it as a rant. I thought about it yesterday. I thought about it today, but, you know, it really is just something, an observation I wanted to make, and this is the hubbub over Willie Nelson calling for a teapot party to be something to match the Tea Party, and I like the idea, and it's cute that, you know, there's a Facebook group that started up, and it's gotten, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people to click like on it, but if you really want to change marijuana laws, you can join the party that we've got going right here. This is something we've been working at for years now, and I like the idea that the popular consciousness toward changing marijuana laws is growing, and that Willie Nelson has shined a spotlight on that, but I don't want this just to be some passing internet fad, some meme like lolcats that's going to disappear, and well, it really hasn't disappeared, has it? The lolcats are everywhere.
Yeah, seriously.
But you get my point here. It's more than just clicking like on a Facebook page, okay? And I don't want the media to see this as being some sort of joke. I want there to be a real populist uprising here on liberalizing, changing, reforming our marijuana laws. So if you're really serious about getting involved with this, do more than just join the Facebook teapot party. Get educated. Start learning about the marijuana laws. Go to normal.org and start finding out what the laws are in your state. Find out the names of your state representatives. Start talking to them, calling these people, sending them emails. Send an email to your state representatives, and when they email you back, send it to us here at stash@normal.org. We catalog this stuff. We have hundreds of emails where you can look up every politician that any one of our listeners has talked to and find out what they think about marijuana law reform. You can hold them to their words. You can use their words against them. It's going to be about lobbying and voting. You know, I go every summer to the Seattle Hemp Fest, Destin to all these great festivals across the country, and I see tens of thousands, in Seattle's case, hundreds of thousands of young people who should be the natural constituents for wanting to get marijuana legalized, and yet I lead them in a chant. I'll say something like, how many people like to smoke weed? And yeah, everybody screams. How many people like to get high? Yeah, everybody screams. How many people have called their senator this year? Crickets, right? Nothing. So if you really want to get involved in this, if you really want to have a teapot party, you know, it's kind of a, people are kind of making a joke about this, you know. You look at the real tea party, these people are starting to actually organize and create actual nonprofit organizations and have real lobbying funds to get some work done. So if you want to have a teapot party, we here at Normal are here for you and we're ready to go. Get involved with your local Normal chapter. Check out normal.org/chapters and you can either find the chapter near you or you can help to form a chapter. I'm your national outreach coordinator. Send me an email at stash@normal.org if you have any questions about how to get started. You just need 5 like-minded people who want to form a nonprofit organization to start doing education and litigating and turning in bills and collecting signatures and doing all the real legwork it takes to be a real party, a real movement. Get involved. We'll be here for you. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. When we come back right after this, a real radical rant on the drug czar and zero tolerance drug driving. We're back after this.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll free 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
We will never call you Shirley Leslie Nelson. Rest in peace, man. Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that has just broken the wires today. It came out early morning Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, whatever time we're on, Eastern Time. Anyway, the Drug Czar's office is once again hyping this threat from the National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration. And depending on which report you read, you're either supposed to be scared or really scared. First of all, the first headline we get is from the Associated Press, and their headline says, Government. Drugs were in 1 in 5 drivers killed in 2009. And wow, 1 in 5 drivers killed in 2009. Drugs were in their body. Okay, and the lead to the story, about 1 in 5 drivers who were killed last year in car crashes tested positive for drugs, raising concerns about the impact of drugs on auto safety, the government reported Tuesday. Okay, so, whoo, scared right off the bat, right? But if you check out another report on the same exact government release, press release from National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, off that same data, USA Today gives it this headline, U.S., third of tests on motorists killed shows drug use. So how does AP say it's 1 in 5 and how does USA Today say it's 1 in 3? Well, the discrepancy results because the AP is considering how many people were killed that tested positive for drugs out of all the people that were killed on the roadways. But you see, not every state requires drug testing of people that are killed on the roadways. So not all the drivers, in fact, only 60% of the drivers that were killed were actually tested. So USA Today just looks at those. Notice how the headline was slightly different. Third of tests on motorists killed, right? So you can conveniently ignore the 40% of those who were killed that we didn't drug test. Regardless, it's either 20% of drivers or 33% of drivers are tested. They're dead. They drove. There's drugs. Be afraid. Well, the AP at least does a job at checking out the logical fallacy involved in that scaremongering. Correlation does not equal causation. Just because there's some dead drivers that had drugs in their system doesn't mean the drugs caused the accident at the time. That's something the USA Today article never addresses. But the AP points this out in the second paragraph.
Researchers with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said the new data underscored a growing problem of people driving with drugs in their system. But they cautioned it was not clear that drugs caused the crashes, and more research was needed to determine how certain drugs can hinder a person's ability to drive safely. Okay, yeah, we're for research. Let's do some research on what really impairs people. That you can never argue against science. However, while the AP keeps saying drugs, in fact, not until paragraph 7 does the AP get around to describing what we're talking about when we say drugs. At least the USA Today opens by explaining we're talking about all drugs. Not just drugs like people would think when you say drugs. Oh, cocaine and heroin, meth, oh my. No, we're also talking prescription drugs, right? Here's from the USA Today. 1/3 of all drug tests done on drivers killed in motor vehicle accidents came back positive for drugs, ranging from hallucinogens to prescription painkillers last year. A 5 percentage point increase since 2005, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration reported Tuesday. Okay. So, right, nobody recommends that you go driving while impaired by drugs. I don't care if that's legal, illegal, Ambien, amphetamine, whatever it is. If you're impaired, you should not be driving. But we have all sorts of legal prescription drugs in this country that are pushed on us on our TVs day after day after day that will cause impairment. And a lot of these drugs have a warning on them that say, until you know how you may be affected by this drug, do not drive or operate heavy machinery. Which kind of suggests to me that once you do know how it affects you, it's kind of your judgment call. In fact, one of those drugs that has that very recommendation is prescription dronabinol, the synthetic cannabinoid THC marketed as Marinol. That's right. Until you know how Marinol may affect you, don't drive. But, you know, once you figured it out, hey, it's your call. Now, in the AP's seventh paragraph, seven paragraphs down in the AP story, they do point out that the presence of the drug in your system has no bearing on whether the drug was impairing you in the first place. Again, from the AP, the test took into account both legal and illegal drugs, including heroin, methadone, morphine, cocaine, methamphetamine, marijuana, LSD, prescription drugs, and inhalants. The amount of time the drug could linger in the body varied by drug type, the researchers said, so it was unclear when the drivers had used the drugs prior to the fatal crashes. Right. See, that's the devil in the details here. You open up this story with 20% or 33% of all the drivers killed had drugs in their system. All you're saying is that Americans have drugs in their system. You pick any American out on the freeway, driving, passenger, dead, alive, doesn't matter, test them for drugs. Guess what? I'll bet you'll find a little bit of drugs in their system. A little bit of prescription this, a little bit of prescription that, maybe some marijuana here and there. And of course, as we all know, with the marijuana, cannabis metabolites can be detected in your urine for weeks and in your blood for days. Most illegal drugs can be detected for a few days in the urine and a few hours in the blood, and prescription drugs are just as varied, right? So what we're really saying here is we've got 20% or 33%, whatever, of killed drivers who had a drug in their system that may or may not have contributed to the crash that killed them, and they may or may not have taken that drug before driving. Wow, man, I'm terrified. Now, for comparison's sake, the USA Today links to a stat that tells us that drowsiness was a factor in 17% of all fatal crashes. Right. You may be just as likely to die in a crash caused by lack of a nap than by the pill you took to take the nap. Are you scared yet? Are you terrified? Well, you should be, because regardless of how ridiculous this might sound, the whole point of scaring you about the drug drivers is the push for nationwide zero-tolerance DUID laws. Driving under the influence of drugs. Let's go back to the USA Today story. Gil Kerlikowske, director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, called the numbers of fatalities involving drugs, quote, alarmingly high, end quote, and called for more states to pass laws making it a crime to have illegal drugs in your body while driving, no matter how much. 17 states already have such laws. The lack of research also presents a problem for lawmakers to develop laws. They can outlaw the use of all illegal drugs while driving. But what about someone who took a prescription sleeping pill a few hours ago? Well, look, since they can outlaw the illegal drugs,
and there's really no political cost for them doing so, they will. These zero tolerance laws, what they mean is that if they detect any metabolite of any illegal drug in your system, you are guilty of driving impaired. You are just as awful as the drunk driver out there with a .08 or higher if we detect anything in your blood or urine. Now, of course, since that joint you smoked could be detectable long after its effects have worn off, you'd be impaired in the eyes of the law even if you were completely sober and unimpaired. And since marijuana is detectable for much longer periods than most any other drug, legal or illegal, what these zero tolerance laws are really witch hunts for cannabis consumers behind the wheel. It's basically the big brother government, your mom and pop, your nanny state, slapping you on the hand and taking the car keys and grounding you from the car because you're smoking pot. That's what it is. Has nothing to do with traffic safety, has nothing to do with protecting people on the highways. It has to do with a nanny state using every possible loophole and trick and power and scaremongering they can to try to stop us from using cannabis. Now, as for the prescription drugs, the ones that people take all the time that are pushed on us on the TV that are really actually impairing to your ability to drive, unlike cannabis, now while cannabis will cause some lane drifting and a little bit of impairment, most people that are using cannabis are aware of their impairment and compensate by driving slowly and more carefully. And we haven't yet found studies to back up the idea that infrequent or even frequent cannabis use is a reliable predictor of someone getting in a wreck. But despite that, let's talk about the prescription drugs. You know, there's not really a whole lot of political benefit in coming up with a per se limit for the different prescription drugs, because think about how many of your constituents as a politician, you know, especially the older constituents who have a tendency to do most of the voting, how much of their votes are you going to get if you're going to be threatening them with a DUI for that little rack of pills they take every day? And consider the lobbying money and the clout of Big Pharma that won't look too kindly on strict new driving laws that might cause people to use less pills. No. We're not going to see any per se limits on prescription drugs. We're not going to see any tolerance limits at all coming to your state anytime soon. But we may be seeing the end of driving privileges for cannabis consumers in your state. It's already happened in Arizona, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Georgia, Delaware, Utah, and South Dakota. And in some of these states, like in Utah or Georgia, or in Iowa, I believe as well, when you're pulled over on the suspicion of drug driving, and they do the pee test or they do the blood test, and they detect some metabolite in your system, you get mandatory jail right that minute. 24 to 48 hours jail time right that second. The minute the little test comes up and says you have metabolites in your body. This is coming, folks. This is the scariest thing we have on the political front as far as the prohibitionists coming after us. I've been saying for a long time, the only two arguments they really have are what about the children and what about the drug drivers? And this is the front they're going to attack on, is the drug driving front. We have got to get in front of this. We've got to do everything we can to oppose these zero tolerance laws. Now, other states like Nevada and Pennsylvania and I believe Ohio have tolerance standards for per nanograms of milliliter of THC in the blood. Testing the blood is a little more reliable than testing the urine. Of course, the metabolites last in urine for weeks or months, whereas they test the blood, it only lasts for, you know, half a day to a day. And some of these states have 2 nanograms per milliliter, 5 nanograms per milliliter. This may be the direction that some of the states go. This might be the political compromise that has to be reached in order to avoid zero tolerance laws that mean no cannabis user can drive without being considered impaired. At least cannabis users that use once a month or more. And there's, 14 million of us. So get active. I talked about the Teapot Party. I talked about political activism. This is one place where you can get active and you can educate yourself. Go to normal.org and you can look up DUID. Just type that in the search box, DUID, and you will bring up all of our relevant resources on marijuana DUIDs in the United States. We have got the laws in all 50 states, so you know exactly what is and is not impaired driving, whether or not you're in one of those states that has per se tolerance. We've also got explanations of what zero tolerance and per se limits and all these terms mean. And of course, you can select your state to find out what all of your state marijuana laws are. We have got to get in front of this, and the first step is to get educated about what the state of the laws are now. And we've got to be organized in presenting this opposition in a way that doesn't paint us as trying to put stoned drivers on the road. You know, that's what they'll come back with if we try to defend this. So come up with the arguments and I will help. We've got to point out that a per se standard has nothing to do with impairment. A per se standard only tells whether you have used drugs. It does not tell when. It does not tell whether you were impaired while you were driving. We all agree that impaired drivers should not be allowed on the roads. Let's work together to find a fair way to do that. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here at normal.org. For Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie, and for all of you folks listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us. For those of you sticking around for hour two, we'll be taking your calls at 971-533-7111. And to everyone, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.